This is the daily update and the daily calendar for Friday, March 16, 2018. The death toll rose overnight in a catastrophic collapse of a 950-ton pedestrian bridge at Florida International University in Miami-Dade County, as a search for survivors became a mission to recover bodies, police said before dawn on Friday. At least six people are confirmed dead, Miami-Dade Police Detective Alvaro Zabalata told reporters at the scene along a normally busy eight-lane thoroughfare where the 174-foot bridge came down Thursday afternoon. Five people died at the scene and another person died at the hospital. At least one of the deceased was an FIU student. Students had been on spring break and the campus was less busy than usual this week. Authorities withheld victims' names. The death toll could rise, Zabaleta warned. There is the possibility, the sad possibility, that under the concrete there may be additional vehicles, Zabaleta said. At least eight vehicles were beneath the broken concrete slabs. The bridge was put in place Saturday and was to be completed in 2019. It crossed Southwest 8th Street and was intended to be a safe passageway for students and connect the school's campus to the city of Sweetwater to the north. State and federal investigators began Friday to figure out why the span failed. And I'm going to jump in and I'm going to say why the span failed, because these days a lot of people don't take pride in their work. They don't care if they produce shoddy work. Engineers should have been on the scene checking out the supports for this structure, and there should have been no problem with it. Things just don't collapse without some kind of signs of stress. So obviously they weren't monitoring this properly, and then they should hold people accountable for all this, because it should have never have happened. So, a high school student in Hilliard, Ohio, didn't want to pick sides in the contentious gun debate surrounding Wednesday's national walkout, so he stayed in class instead of joining the largely anti-gun protest or an alternative study hall. Hilliard Davidson High School senior Jacob Schumacher was then reportedly slapped with a suspension. The student argued that divisive politics have no place in America's schools, and he refused to take sides in the debate, according to Associated Press. Schumacher's suspension citation was posted online, possibly by a friend, and the story quickly went viral. While Schumacher said he didn't expect for his actions to generate so much attention, he is prepared to accept the consequences of his decision. And he's absolutely right. There is no place for divisive politics in schools. There is no place for divisive talk about sexuality in schools, but they've made it a breeding ground for an agenda, and now we see what the agenda has brought us to. And in the case of that shooter in Florida, they all missed the point. The point is mental illness. And the point is that boy was crying out for help. The point is the boy called the police on himself, saying that he was out of control, that he just lost his mom, he wasn't dealing with it properly, and all the red flags were ignored. Not just missed, but ignored. And government failed on every level. Every level. But instead, they do a walkout against the Second Amendment. Now that's ridiculous. So, Santa Rosa, California. Verizon has already built one church steeple with a cell phone tower inside of it in Santa Rosa. Now it wants to build another, and it wants to bypass the normal review process. They are unlikely business partners, but Verizon wants to do a deal with another Santa Rosa church. In the middle of a Santa Rosa neighborhood, one church has become ground zero in a crusade against Verizon. Neighbor Kaylin McCauley said, "My first thoughts was, why is Big Brother here, and do I want Big Brother in my backyard?" Right across the street from McCauley's home is a community Baptist church. It's gone 60 years without a steeple, but now it and Verizon aim to change that. The church would get a 62-foot high steeple, complete with a cross and six cell phone antennas. Verizon already built and paid for a similar steeple at a church across town earlier this year. A 60-plus foot tower looming over my house would be seen from all angles, my front yard, my side yard, my backyard, and the yard furthest from them. So I just don't want a commercial enterprise overlooking my house, McCauley said. Because the antennas would be building mounted. The permits for it are classified as minor rather than major, meaning it goes before a different review authority and has a different public notification and appeals process. It also doesn't require a neighborhood meeting, though the city required one, knowing that cell towers are a controversial business. So one, you don't want to live near a cell tower because the radiation that they put out is extraordinary. There's been no medical conditions like tumors of people who live near cell towers. Number two, here's a cell phone company getting together with churches that are tax-free entities. That church doesn't pay tax on its land or the income that it makes. Nothing. So now these companies are going to be paying these churches to put these cell phone towers up there. Now the churches become part of a public business. Now the churches can't be tax-free. So, but it doesn't surprise me that in a state like California, this type of stuff is going on. And California is very funny to me because they scream and they yell about all kinds of issues, but yet their own backyard is so horrible and they don't care about it. They don't care about the pollution they emit. They don't care about turning a blind eye to homeless. They don't care about any of it. You know what they care about? Money. They care about money. And here are these churches. You know what they care about? Money. People need to fight this and make sure that it doesn't happen. But obviously, since they already did it in one church, it's happening. So, Australian scientists discovered in 2010 that the semi-aquatic animal, the platypus's milk, contains a potent protein able to fight superbugs. They've now identified why and say it could lead to a creation of a new type of antibiotic. Platypus are monotremes, a tiny group of mammals able to both lay eggs and produce milk. They don't have teats. Instead, they concentrate milk to their belly and feed their young by sweating it out. The feeding system is thought to be linked to its antibacterial properties, according to the scientists. Platypus are such weird animals that it would make sense for them to have weird biochemistry, Dr. Janet Newman from Australia's National Science Agency, CSIRO, had said. It's believed mammals evolved teats or nipples because it was a sterile way to deliver milk to their young. But platypus milk being exposed to the outside leaves their babies in danger of being in contact with harmful bacteria. The unique antibacterial protein their milk contains might just be the animal's defense against that. We were interested to examine the protein structure and characteristics to find out exactly what part of the protein was doing what. The researchers found a quirk they say has never been seen in more than 100,000 different protein structures known to biologists. It was dubbed the Shirley Temple in reference to its ringlet formation after the 1930s child star. The find will go on to inform other drug discovery work. The World Health Organization released a report in 2014 urging action to be taken to prevent the post-antibiotic era, where common infections and minor injuries, which have been treatable for decades, can kill once again. Antimicrobial resistance occurs when bacteria build up a tolerance against antibiotics and pass that resistance on to the next generation of bacteria, producing superbugs. Komodo dragon blood is another source being checked for potential new antibiotics. So what does this mean? It means we have to look to nature. And the more we destroy nature, the more we destroy rainforests, the more that we destroy everything that's important to us because it could solve our problems medically, the more we're not going to have those avenues to solve the problem. So let's celebrate today. Today is Lips Appreciation Day. So Lips Appreciation Day was created as a day to do something nice for your lips, such as give them some kind of lip balm and or let them be kissed. Protecting lips with a balm is important as it can shield them from harmful UV rays that cause cancer. It can also be important because lips don't have any sweat glands, causing them to dry up quickly. One reason kissing is so enjoyable is that lips are 100 times more sensitive than fingertips. Kissing is also important because pheromones and biological information may be shared during it, which may help with choosing a mate. It's important to appreciate your lips because no one has any just like yours. They are unique, just like fingerprints are. So, in celebrating Lips Day, check out some Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger and his big lips, or go out and kiss or do whatever, or get that nice lip balm for your lips and then treat them right. Today's also National Farm Rescuer Day. So National Farm Rescuer Day dedicates the third Tuesday of March to those who support farmers in need. When crisis strikes in the form of illness, injury, or natural disaster, farm rescuers throughout the heartland get the jobs done. Whether hay needs to be baled or crops need to be harvested, these men and women plant the fields and feed the souls of the farm family when times take a turn for the worse. What was once a community tradition is now a nonprofit called Farm Rescue. Founded in 2005, Farm Rescue and its volunteers have assisted more than 400 farms and ranch families throughout the United States. National Farm Rescuer Day encourages you to join the community that lends a hand when crisis strikes. Whether a farm rescuer volunteers their time, talents, or financial resources, their commitment is valuable. Keeping a farm running is hard work. When the unexpected happens, many hands make the work manageable. There are several ways to get involved with Farm Rescue and make a difference on National Farm Rescuer Day. So get out there and help if you can. If you know someone down on their luck with a farm, get out there and help them any way you can so they can sustain their lives. And the small farms are going, and the big corporate farms are coming in. The big corporate farms get a lot of tax breaks, the small farms don't. So you've seen these small farm families go to the wayside, and a lot of the kids that grow up in that family go to college, and they get better jobs, make more money than what they would make on the farm. But what does that say for small farming families in America? Because farms are really the backbone of the country. They supply the food that we eat. So think about them today and anything you can do to help farmers today. Today is also National Artichoke Hearts Day. So artichokes are one of the oldest cultivated vegetables. Historians generally agree that artichokes started somewhere in the Mediterranean. Some say it was Sicily, and some have said that they originated in North Africa. The artichoke is actually an improved version of the cardoon, which is smaller and more prickly. The cardoon buds were eaten, but their stems were often more desirable. They began cultivating them as early as the 5th century BC. They traveled up through Italy, the Dutch introduced them to England, the French brought them to Louisiana, and Italian immigrants brought them to California. Artichokes are a good source of antioxidants, vitamin C, folate, and magnesium. The antioxidants in artichokes are very good for your liver and help promote healthy skin. Artichokes are also high in fiber, calcium, and protein, while low in calories. For all these reasons, along with being fat-free and cholesterol-free, artichokes are truly a healthy and delicious food to celebrate. So here's some artichoke facts for y'all. The total antioxidant capacity of an artichoke flower head is one of the highest reported for vegetables. The fleshy base of the artichoke is perhaps the most enjoyable edible part of this oddly shaped vegetable. You can find artichoke hearts that are packed in vinegar, oil, or marinade and canned. They make for a great low sodium snack and lend themselves well to other snacks like artichoke dip, as well as a pizza topping. And California is known as the artichoke capital of the world. They supply nearly 100% of North America's fresh artichokes. So I like to take artichokes and stuff them. I make a nice stuffing, and it depends what kind of stuffing. You can make a meat stuffing, you can make a vegetable stuffing, whatever. But make a nice stuffing, you peel those leaves out, you put the stuffing in there, you put it all together, and you put it in the oven, and then boom. A little while later, probably like I think about an hour and a half, it takes a long time to cook artichokes the right way. But you'll know when the leaves start opening up and they get all soft and they're nice. And then you suck on the leaves and then you eat the artichoke and you stay away from the prickly flower crap that's in there, because that's the stuff that will choke you on this day if you choose to eat some artichokes. Today's also National Everything You Do Is Right Day. So March 15th may have been a difficult day for you, as it was National Everything You Think Is Wrong Day. But March 16th is just the opposite, as it is National Everything You Do Is Right Day. You get to feel good about everything that you do. Within restraints, of course, don't break the law and things like that, you know. But you can celebrate this day, because when you're right, you're right. And there's no wrong about it. When you know you're right, you're right. So take the good with the bad and have a right kind of day. day. Use hashtag everything you do is right day to post on social media about all the stuff that you think is right. Have a safe, legal, and fun everything you do is right day, and especially safe and legal. Today is also National Freedom of Information Day. So Freedom of Information Day is dedicated to that very concept, with the Freedom of Information Act being enacted on July 4th, 1966, and coming into effect a year from that date. It declared that every person has the right to get information from federal agency records that are not protected by one of the 9 exemptions or special law enforcement record exclusions. This put into law the very concepts that James Madison had held so dear and ensured that the citizens of the United States were able to obtain that information to which they were entitled. National Freedom of Information Day celebrates the birthday of President James Madison. Madison is known as the father of the Constitution and as the foremost advocate for openness in government. He is also hailed as being instrumental in the drafting of the United States Constitution and as the key champion and author of the United States Bill of Rights. Individual rights and freedom of information were high importance to Madison. Born James Madison Jr. on March 16, 1751 in Port Conway, Virginia, Madison died on June 28, 1836 at his Montpelier estate. James Madison was the 4th president, if you didn't know that, of the United States of America in 1809 to 1817. So let's think about all those cool UFO videos we get to see because of the Freedom of Information Act, and they released them to the public, right? Today is also Panda Day. Panda Day grew out of the recognized need to help protect these beautiful bears. They are part of the Ursidae family, which places them solidly in the bear kingdom. A lot of people argue that panda bears aren't bears, but too bad, you're wrong. Interestingly, they are also part of the Carnivora order, which means they share a lot in common with dogs, like all bears. Bears and dogs have a lot in common. Remember that. Housed in zoos all over the world, pandas require conservation efforts to even have a chance at recovering from their current state. This means that even while examples of the species exist in the world, efforts must be made to protect their habitat and even control the predators in their area. They're very sensitive creatures, and disruptions to their environment can lead to issues with them reproducing. Little success has been had in captivity, though that's been changing in recent years. Still, they aren't prone to giving birth very often, and that means that any loss to their numbers is potentially tragic. It helps that everyone loves pandas, but I'm going to say that when animals go extinct, they go extinct, and I think that you can fight as hard as you can, but sometimes they just go extinct, and it's not because of pollution, and it's not because of all these other things. You know, these bears don't produce a lot, so when it comes down to it, if they go extinct, they go extinct, but I'll still always love the panda, right? Today is also World Sleep Day. So it is an annual event intended to be a celebration of sleep and a call to action on important issues related to sleep, including medicine, education, social aspects, and driving. It is organized by the World Sleep Day Committee of the World Association of Sleep Medicine. That's a long, long title, man. Just saying that, I want to go to sleep. And it aims to lessen the burden of sleep problems on society through better prevention and management of sleep disorders. So, get your sleep on. And a lot of people have a hard time sleeping out there. You're worried about your bills and this and that and other stuff in the world and all the division and all that stuff. You got to just put it aside, put your head down that pillow, close your eyes and close out that world and get some sleep already. So, get some sleep today. Today is also No Selfie Day. So, No Selfie Day was established to help cast a light on just how much this has become part of our culture. It's actually been revealed that the average girl spends 1 hour and 24 minutes each week trying to capture that perfect selfie. And I know you see them out there. I know you see them sitting at a bus stop or whatever, or wherever they are, or in a store, and they're sitting there staring at their phone, making all kinds of weird, goofy faces. Remember the whole duck lip phenomenon? Making these goofy faces. And there are women, girls, women, that put 10, 15, 20, photos of themselves on Facebook every week, sometimes every day, and you gotta say, wow, what a cry for help, you know? So the whole drive seems to be based on the person's need to be noticed and to feel that they're special. And so people try to prepare the perfect picture to get the most likes to help bolster their self-esteem. And also you can buy likes. So imagine that. They're putting a photo of themselves. Maybe two or three people will like it or whatever. Then they could buy 100 likes or 150 or 200 likes. And that's just crazy to me because it's just so fake and it's so nasty and it's so harmful. But on the surface, it may seem harmless, but until you consider how further it separates people from one another and how damaging posting a selfie without getting any notice can be, it can be pretty bad. Further, this plague of selfies builds on what the social concept of beauty is. This, again, sounds like it could be a good thing if our selfies are taken by amateurs and they aren't necessarily going to be some perfect photo wash versions of ourselves. But like anything, the taking of a selfie builds the techniques of making them, and some go as far as to using photo editing software to enhance their selfies and make themselves appear unrealistically beautiful, or what their version of beautiful is. What a relief it must be to the fashion industry to find out they no longer have to promote unrealistic ideals of beauty. We've taken the initiative and started doing it ourselves. And then if you're smart and you've got kids, take that phone away from them because it's ruining their lives and it's going to hurt our society overall. And I see it every day. I know you see it every day. There are people that drive down the road and they're sitting there taking a selfie and not keeping their eyes on the road. That's how crazy our world has become. And it's all about low self-esteem, and this feeds into it. Very sad, actually, that so many people are going to suffer from these conditions. And not including all the other conditions that come along with cell phone usage, like bad posture and poor eyesight, not being able to sleep at night. And you listen to the millennials out there, they have anxiety, they can't sleep, they have all kinds of disorders now, all from social media and a cell phone, really? And something that's so easy to get rid of, but yet people are addicted. This is Michael Angley on the Daily Update and also the Daily Calendar for Friday, March 16th, 2018 on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Pass Christian.